Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on April 24th, 2017. My guest today is a developer relations and marketing consultant, Matthew Revell. How are you?
Hey, I'm very well. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for being on the show. Now, could you tell my listeners what exactly developer relations means?
Developer relations is something that's been happening for quite some time now, but I think it's more popular now because there are more products, more tools aimed at developers, you know, where developers are the decision makers, if you like, an API or a library or infrastructure like AWS. And developer relations is, I'm going to whisper this, well, figuratively, it's really a form of marketing aimed at presenting products to developers and then building awareness of that product amongst developers, building adoption, and then crucially building community. And it's significantly different from traditional marketing for all sorts of reasons, which we can go into, would be quite a long list.
One of the important things that some people in developer relations do is they help to create, organize, and run developer-oriented conferences. And have you been involved in organizing or creating any conferences?
On the organizing side, whether it's for people that I've worked for, so I helped out with the Basho Recons and with the Couchbase events as well. On my own basis, many years ago, I helped out with I was one of the organizers of a grassroots Linux and free software event in the UK called Lug Radio Live. More recently, I ran a distributed systems conference in London called SPAN back in 2014. For the past 3 years now, I think, I've been running DevRelCon, which is a developer relations conference. That started in London. It had a San Francisco edition last year. And this year it's going to be taking place in San Francisco again under a slightly different name because we've expanded the remit to be more broadly developer experience as well as developer relations. But it'll also be happening in Beijing in a couple of weeks, Tokyo in July, and then kind of the parent event, I guess you could call it, will be happening again in London in December.
It's interesting that you're expanding to include developer experience because I think that's one of the things that developer relations is often overlooked, is that some people go one way and say, hey, you should use our product, here's our product. But I think it's important to get feedback from the community to say, here's where the pain points are and here's where it could be improved and pass that along to have a two-way relationship.
Yeah, totally. I mean, 5 years ago, it was almost enough if you had an API and you went out and told developers about it and bought them a few beers. Now, so many people are doing developer relations and following a similar playbook that actually you can't take out a shoddy product. You have to have something that is a pleasure to work with. You know, the onboarding experience has to work well. My collaborator in DevRel consultancy, Cristiano Betta, talks about how, you know, you go to a website, you need to know within the first couple of seconds broadly what the API or tool does. Then when you get to the onboarding documentation, you need to know broadly what the method of interaction is and how to get it installed. And then, you know, there should always be these very short gaps between achieving something and then being able to achieve the next thing. Not everyone gets that right. So I think there are conferences about APIs and things like that, but we wanted to take in the full breadth of developer experience, right from the outreach side, which falls into that developer marketing side of things, through to how to be successful once you've chosen a product. You know, how can a vendor or open source community, how can they make it a pleasure to be an ongoing part of that community?
Running all these conferences, what do you see as the most valuable benefit of being a conference organizer? And which is to say, why do you do it?
I did it first with SPAN, the Distributed Systems Conference. The reason for that was that some colleagues and I had put in work for a company we were working for at the time, finding the venue for a similar conference and so on. And then the funding got pulled. And then when I left that company, I thought, well, now I know all the venues and I know who I'd have to speak and so on. So I just did it off my own bat. DevRelCon was very much different in that I felt developer relations was an area of expertise, a craft, if you like, where not enough people were saying, hey, I did this, this is what I learned, and this is how you can do this thing better. A lot of people were cargo culting or just, you know, just making it up as they went along. Admittedly, I wanted to learn from other people on how to do things better. And I thought the best way of doing that was to bring them together near me and get them to speak at a conference. So for me, the benefit of running DevRelCon really has been that I've learned a huge amount about developer relations. I've met a lot of really interesting people. I won't deny it's been useful for me in my consultancy work. It's been a really great form of marketing for me.
So I've been involved in running and organizing a few conferences and user groups, much smaller, much fewer than you, but I know that there are many difficulties and struggles with running a conference. What would you say is the number one most difficult thing about conferences?
Without doubt, it's finding the audience. The subject, the logo, the name, even finding speakers if you have a good network of connections and so on, isn't hard. Finding the audience, getting people to pay for tickets is hard. I would say even finding sponsors can be relatively easy compared to finding the audience, because without the audience, the conference is nothing, obviously. You know, you've let down the sponsors, you let down the speakers, and you're probably going to make a horrible financial loss. So finding the audience is hard, because unless you have a pre-built network of people who can come, you're creating something brand new from scratch, and that's never easy. So you need to give yourself a lot more time and be prepared to put a lot more effort and probably money into finding that audience. Other than that, I think that the financial side is really hard as well. When I did the first conference SPAN, I lay awake a lot at night thinking, am I going to lose thousands and thousands of pounds? In the end, I didn't. You know, we filled the venue, covered costs and so on. Yeah, the finances is quite terrifying at times.
Yeah, running conferences can be discouraging, especially in the beginning. I've seen a lot of people trying to organize conferences and they're starting to build and they may not get great attendance that first year, that first meeting. Do you have any tips for either staying positive or alternatively for knowing when to cut your losses and say, it's just not going to work?
I think that the traditional advice of don't listen to people when they say that they like your idea or they'll buy it is really important. You know, if you have a product of any kind, don't rely on people saying that they'll buy the thing. You have to get them to buy it before it tests it. And obviously at that point, you're all in at that point. So staying positive, I think, is really a matter of having all your bases covered. If you know for sure that you have a good idea and you know for sure that you're not going to make a horrible loss or fail in whatever other way is important to you, I think, yes, you do have to take some chances and so on. Unless you have lots of money to burn or you have endless goodwill amongst people, then you've really got to be certain that your conference is going to work. And you should make whatever arrangements you can to minimize the risk, such as, you know, I don't know, co-locating it with another event or something like that, because then that will make you stay positive because you've covered all the bases you can. In terms of knowing when to cut your losses, I think if you're not selling tickets on a fairly even drib drab, if you sell a few tickets in the week after it's been announced and then nothing happens, then maybe you've reached the limit of all the people who want to buy a ticket for that conference on that date, or you are doing something wrong in terms of promotion. The only important indicator of a conference's health and success is whether people are buying tickets or not. And if they're not buying tickets, if you're getting close enough to the event, it's almost at the point of no return, then I think that is when you need to say, okay, we've sold 5 tickets and nothing else has happened in the past 2 months. You know, that's the time to cut your losses. But really, keep your expenses low for the first one, and then hopefully your losses will be minimal anyway.
What kind of mistakes have you made in conferences, and what have you learned from those mistakes?
I've made a pretty big mistake this year. Well, last year I thought I'd like to run another conference outside of DevRelCon and do something entirely different that's not related to developer relations. I've worked from home for the past 11 or 12 years, you know, and that's another area where people do things so wrong. There are people who do things really well as well, but it doesn't get communicated. All the things that I read about working from home or so on are kind of very pie-in-the-sky digital nomad. Oh, I want to go and live on a bus in Thailand and, you know, work for 4 hours a week and spend the rest of the week on a beach. There don't seem to be too many practical, hey, here's how we built an organization of 1,000 remote workers and these are the things that you should learn from our mistakes, you know, that kind of stuff. So I thought it'd be interesting to have a remote work conference. Lots of people told me they agreed. I had no trouble finding good speakers. I underestimated the work involved in finding the audience because with developer relations, with distributed systems, I already had networks of people that I could go to. For remote working, there isn't necessarily the same set of places where people who do remote work hang out. And they also have very different motivations. And I think the really important thing is, unless you're working in HR or you're a startup entrepreneur or something like that, you're not going to really be able to expense the ticket for a conference about remote work. It's not something that you're going to go to your boss and say, hey, you should give me a day off and pay for this conference. Because honestly, it's not something that probably would benefit your employers. I think the mistake I made there was thinking that I could pick another subject that interests me. It would be the same process of building the audience and that people would come for the same reasons. In that case, I basically decided that to cut my losses. Even though I was selling tickets, I cut my losses because I needed way more time to build the audience for that and to do it in a much more interesting, intelligent way than I had been doing.
You and I have both been to a lot of conferences. Certainly, you're based in Europe. You've been to many European conferences and probably a lot in the States. I've been to a lot of conferences in the States, in the Midwest especially. Do you have a conference that you consider your favorite or sort of the ideal conference and one that you don't organize or run? Could you name a conference like that and then why it's your favorite?
I think that if I had to pick one, it would be Takeoff Conference, which happened, I think, 3 times in Lille in northern France. And it was a general web development conference. The first year I went there as a sponsor, and then the second year I went as a speaker. The reason I liked it was because they got a really good roster of speakers all doing kind of web development stuff, but about, I don't know, probably 20% of the talks were slightly different. So there's one on understanding different cultures and things like that, which was fact-based and, you know, really, really interesting stuff. But what I loved about it was the community feel, the fact that I went there and I made genuine friendships there. And it didn't hurt that it was in a beautiful city that was not too far from where I live, you know, compared to the States. So I really liked Takeoff Conference, and I'm glad to say I think they're doing it again this year in October. Other ones, I mean, conferences for me are often experiences where I drink too much coffee, get a bit of caffeine jitters, I'm jet lagged or, you know, stressed about something. So honestly, I don't enjoy most of the conferences I go to as an exhibitor when I was doing that kind of job. That is hard work. As you know, running an exhibition booth. As a speaker, I tend to enjoy them, but then there are certain conferences where you go and speak and you're very much aware that there's a real clique. You know, you go to the speaker's dinner and everyone knows each other. That happens certainly in particular technology communities. I really enjoy the ones, I'm just trying to think of some others that I've really enjoyed, because there are some that have really stood out for me. In the end, a lot of them become a bit of a blur. But Takeoff definitely is the one I think I enjoyed most.
I'm definitely going to check that out, and I'll put a link to all these conferences you've mentioned in the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com. Are there any resources you'd recommend for people looking to start a conference or to help run a conference?
I've been thinking about this, and I'm sure there are. In the UK, we have ConfConf, which is a conference about running conferences. And that's happening, I think, May 21st, May 20th this year. I won't be going because I'll be getting on a plane to San Francisco for DevExCon. I've heard that the benefit of that is not so much in the content, but in the fact that you're meeting other people and who are in the same boat as you and talking to them about that. Resources, I would say that people are really friendly in the conference running area. So the people at White October Events, there's one. Yeah, they run an event called All Your Base. That was a really good one. I enjoyed that. That was a database conference in the UK here. White October Events, a company who make money from running events, but they're all very friendly and they will answer your questions. And they're always very keen to help people out who are starting out. And then the people who run DevOx, the series of Java conferences, Stefan, who runs the DevOx generally, and then Mark, who runs the UK edition and the Vox series, very friendly and very willing to take a little bit of time out of their busy day to answer a question by email or whatever. But general resources, you know, I haven't read any books that I would say are helpful. I think someone should write one, but I worry that it wouldn't be written by someone who actually runs conferences, because those sorts of people tend to be very busy.
You're not wrong. Yeah. Is there anything else before we wrap up that you'd like to promote?
I mean, just devrel.net, which is my blog about developer relations. And if you want to go to DevExCon in San Francisco on May 22nd, then devexcon.com. If you happen to be around Beijing or Tokyo, then go check out the DevRelCons happening there, and also London later in the year. I think that's about it, though, really, for now. I will have some new things to announce. I'll be co-locating a new conference alongside DevRelCon in London this year, which I'm excited to get going, but I'm not quite ready to announce yet.
My guest today has been Matthew Revell. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thank you so much.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.